What's up, folks? I'm smiling today. Haven't done an episode in a couple days. Figured I'd jump on here. We'll keep it quick, I promise. I'm smiling because I'm looking at myself in the recording here, and this episode's going to be shaped a lot by some messages that I've got, some social media, some experiences over the last couple of days at the hobby, card shows, seeing auctions in, and that kind of stuff. But one funny one I have to share with you guys. One is, I got a message from somebody saying that him and his wife watch every episode, and they watch all the content, all the news and stuff on Instagram. And the thing that they think is funny is how I don't look any more like the headshot that I have as my as my IG page, like the photo there, the avatar, I guess is what you call it, right? I found myself by DM apologetic, like, hey, I took that in 2018 and it's not that long ago. And I realized, wow, that is 6 years ago. And here's my big fat head now. It doesn't look exactly the same. It's significantly more gray. But, we've gone through some stuff here together. We've gone through some COVID. We've gone through some craziness, the crazy lunacy up and down of the hobby. I mean, I took that picture before ever doing an episode, before ever knowing what a podcast was. And sure, it was a few pounds ago. All right, so it was a fun little kick in the ass. Like, I guess I gotta get back on the diet horse, try to get back in shape. I'm not doing anything about this gray. This is just me, guys. Gray is just gonna be the gray. Most of that is caused by you guys and your DMs. Anyway, I just thought it was funny as I sit here, I look into the camera, and I'm like, ah, yeah. All right, I gotta get back to looking a little more like the guy in the DM. I need a hair in my photo there. I need a haircut, definitely. That's 100% true. I got some comments about my most recent news. People saying the hair was getting a little unruly. You guys are, I love it. I love every bit of it. It means you guys are watching, you're having fun with it, which I guess is the name of the game, right? I took my family to see a Broadway show today. We do that every year for my daughter's birthday. And, popped out of Grand Central, and there is, a friend, a listener of the show, someone who watches, someone I've interacted with at Bleecker, Cage! My daughter is embarrassed by this because now she thinks every time we leave the house, I'm recognized because a couple weeks ago we went on vacation and someone recognized me in the airport. I was like, Cage, how you doing? I love your content. So now she thinks every time we go to the supermarket, it's going to be one of those kind of things. So clearly that's not going to happen. But I do want to make sure you guys know I love that. That's a fun little experience for me to go through. My kids are like, what the hell was that? All right, so into the fun of it, into the whole, what I see on the gram, what I see out there. It's a funny thing I've been thinking about recently about the hobby, about this space, because, I get a lot of DMs from you guys like, hey, the content's been real negative lately. I get that, that message, or, hey, I love the content. I love the real honest take, I've been thinking about leaving the hobby too. I get a lot of that message. I've been thinking about leaving the hobby too. And, glad to hear that you're thinking the same way as I am. So let's parse that out. I may be thinking the same way as you. I may be questioning the space. I may be questioning my role in the space. I may be questioning, how I collect, what I'm buying, and what I'm doing, but never leaving. And if you're thinking about leaving, I mean, it's an interesting, thing to go through, right? Because why did you come here? Why were you here? Is this something you came back into when there was more free time? Is this something you came back into when, there was a void you were looking to fill with this hobby and it no longer is filling that void? Or, is it because when everything was good, this was a fun place for you and now it's not as fun anymore for one reason or another? And if that's the case, you really are considering, heading out because it's now become more stressful or more fun. Please, all the power in the world to you, go right ahead, do your thing. This is supposed to be a place to come and, I guess escape the nonsense of daily life. It's not supposed to be what causes the nonsense of daily life. And I'll just swing right into, there's a couple things I want to talk about. I'll swing right into, where my brain is on that. sometimes we kind of start going down a path, and every once in a while you kind of got to, like, you know, be shaken out of it. It's weird for different people that shaken out of it is it's a different thing, right? You never know what it's going to be that kind of shakes you out of it. But I was looking through IG today, and, you know, going through people's cards, going through stuff. You guys know I consistently audit my cards. I go to shows, love doing the content. You know, I love opening wax with my son. More often than not, I like to complain about the wax. But I've definitely gone down some paths where, you know, it was speculative. It wasn't really hobby. It wasn't really done for, I'm going to use the word, nostalgia. It wasn't really done out of any type of purity at all. It was hoping to get in on something early enough where maybe there was some money to be made there. And think about that for a second. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way, guys. In what they call emerging market spaces, which for a while I heard a lot of in the hobby. It's rational thought process. I'll use, you know, digital as a good example without using any specific example. You guys know Panini, Top Shot, and all candy and the whole, there's a whole bunch of stuff out there. You know, you kind of got into this, wow, NFTs and, you know, up and down, and you could buy this and sell this. And you saw it with cards. It was like, all right, if I buy this now, next week, it's going to be worth more money and I can sell it to somebody else and make money. And you kind of get into that little, you know, tunnel vision of, you know, not am I going to buy this card because it's a card that I want. It's am I going to buy this card because is it a card that I'm going to maybe be able to sell in a month or two or six for more money? You get into picks and plays, and I mean, so many people making content, myself included, about that. I don't know whether or not that is sustainable hobby, and I think that's why we have a lot of people who have the same type of conversations that we're having now, right? We're having the same, like, hey, I'm thinking about leaving. All right, well, maybe the reason why you were here, it's no longer plausible. Maybe there isn't that, you know, quick. There are people making money, but those are the people who are in business in the hobby. They're the people who are going from one show to the next. They're the people who are, you know, trying to buy low and sell high and have the ability to buy here and sell there. They're not the casuals. It used to be, you know, anybody who could, you know, buy a blaster at Target could go break it online. That's not the case anymore. That, you know, the space evolves. And, you know, with that, the people who are, quote, making money in it also kind of condenses. It also changes. And that does squeeze people out. So to me, to my epiphany moment, I have a big thank you to Refractor Jones. A great follow, guys, if you haven't followed it. I stumbled upon the last 15 posts made by Refractor Jones. And they were short videos from a Goodwill purchase. Now, I don't want to blow this guy's stuff up too much because, you know, you're going to be, I'm adding competitors for this. But, you know, as it turns out, you can buy cards through Goodwill auctions. It's not what this is about. You can go research that if you want, or you can message him. He's, you know, great to, or she, you never know. Never know in this space. They are great. They share their information with you and, you know, tell you how they bought the stuff. But what was amazing to me was I was looking at the videos they posted of what they obtained from a Goodwill buy, which probably didn't cost a lot of money. And I'm sure it's a very hit or miss thing, right? It's sort of like a storage locker, you know, Storage Wars. You know, hey, I'm going to bid on that locker and, you know, hope I can, you know, find something awesome in it. You know, you've all seen that reality TV show. It's sort of that type of deal. For me, that's not what drew it in. What drew it in to me was the cards that this person found in this Goodwill buy. I guess for lack of a better way of saying it, they spoke to me. I sent a message. Tell me more about this stuff. You know, like, what's the deal? And they didn't speak to me because they were a noble nameplate. They didn't speak to me because they were some numbered, rare, you know, that's a card that I'm going to buy now and people are going to want. And we can talk about the valuation and the what's card ladder say it's worth and what's the pop. And no, that wasn't what we were looking at on any of these cards. It was 1987 Topps Wood Border Bo Jackson Future Star, just slamming them down like 10, 15, 20 of them. Boom, 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 penny sleeves. And then moving on to the next 90s baseball, 89 baseball, moving on to, you know, the next stuff. And then you get into the Shaq years, you know, and I saw just, you know, sticking out there a Fleer Ultra Rejector where Shaq's coming in. It was one of the first cards that I would say is sort of like a precursor to Kaboom. There was some football ones maybe a couple of years before that. But it's got, you know, the ball and he's blocking the ball. It's got like a Kaboom sort of cartoony explosion thing behind it. It's called Ultra Rejectors. And of course, there was just a ton of Upper Deck trade cards, you know, untraded trade cards, which were the cards that you could get in Series 1 Upper Deck and trade in for the, you know, the Shaquille O'Neal black card where he's kind of dunking the ball. And then just continuing with more cards from 90s basketball cards, metal cards, you name it. I don't know if there was a single numbered card in there. There might have been. That wasn't what I was looking at. What I was looking at was the cards that I remember buying when I was a kid. And it's funny because I remember before COVID, before craziness, before, you know, there was this buy now and sell for more type of mentality. I was in the space and I had money and I came back to it and said, what am I going to buy? And I remember what I bought. And the funniest part is through all of these audits, through all of these things that we've done with the cards, right? Like, let's go through every couple of months, sell this one, sell this one. PMGs out the door. LeBron exquisite RPAs out the door. Michael Jordan, 86 Fleer rookie, out the door in PSA 10. You know, all these cards out the door. You know what is funny is, you know, when I first came back, one of the first cards I bought was an 84 Donruss Mattingly rookie card. An 89 Fleer Billy Ripken with the scribble curse words on the bat. An 89 Upper Deck Ken Griffey Jr. That's just a few. I have more. That's just a few. The 92 Upper Deck Shaquille O'Neal black card that I just talked about with him dunking. All those cards in PSA 10. Those are all cards I bought. It has to be 6, 7, 8 years ago now. And what's funny is they're worth so much more than what I paid for them. But when I bought them for a couple hundred dollars each, I wasn't buying them thinking, wow, these are bargains. I was buying them thinking that these were the cards that I have the most nostalgia for. These are the cards that bring me back to my youth. These are the cards that I want to own. These are cards that tell a story to me. They are something that has a connection to me. And what's funny is those are the cards that I still own, and those are the cards that are worth more now than they were when I bought them. Now, are there other cards out there that went up more than those did? Of course. Of course. Just like no matter how much you research a stock, there's another stock out there that went up more than the one that you picked. Bound to happen. It's life. But what I found funny about it is through all the ups and downs, through all the craziness of the space, the cards that were the most difficult for me to get rid of were the first ones I came back in to buy. When I guess the intentions of the purchase were more pure? Is that a fair way of saying it? More nostalgic? More true? And a lot of these other cards that were purchased along the way, I'm not saying they were bad buys. I'm not saying they're bad buys at all. A lot of them I bought for a price and sold for a higher price. Not all of them. Some of them I bought for a price and sold for a lower price, which, you know, does happen every now and again. But the funny part about it is I found myself watching these videos, which not a lot of people watch. I found myself watching the videos saying, wow, I remember that card. Or, hey, why don't I have one of those? Or, hey, I should go and get one of those cards. And it wasn't I should go and get one of those cards because they're undervalued. I should go and get one of those cards because I think it's going to go up in value. There's enough of that conversation being had. And I think it's that conversation that's leading to a lot of the DMs I'm getting of people who want to leave. No, I didn't look at those cards and say, I should pick one of those up because I think it's a good buy. I looked at those cards and said, I think I should pick one of those up because I just want to have one. And that's an important, fun little thing there that happened. That's what the hobby is supposed to be. Now, let's do a little turn. Do a little turn. Because maybe I got you with it. Maybe I didn't. What I do want to say to the rest of you guys out there is, even if you are in this space because it's a business for you, even if you are in this space because you're looking for cards to buy that are going to go up in value, or you're a dealer or you're somebody in this, the key here is, I titled this one Card Care, What If It Means Something Else? And it's funny because the Card Care, you think of Kurt's Card Care and cleaning cards. If you just look at kind of the space, my news and all the other fun stuff that goes on, you would think this is a very different space than it really is. Is it okay to soak cards? Is it not okay to soak cards? You know, this person's doing this and this person's doing that, and Tom Brady's signing autographs, but they're not the right autographs, and his signature looks like Tim Allen signed the football and blah, blah, blah. Oh, and by the way, everybody's got their own repack now. And what the hell does any of that stuff really have to do with the first 15 minutes we talked about of, you know, seeing a card, wanting that card, and going and buying that card? I harken back to an episode I did, you know, months ago. And it really hit me when I watched those videos. I saw a card. I saw a card that I hadn't seen in a while. I saw a card that I remembered. I want that card, and I'm going to go find the card, and I'm going to buy that card now. And really, the hobby is as easy as that. But for those of you looking for something more than that, I don't think you need anything more than that. That in and of itself should be enough to let you know that this space is not going anywhere. Cards are not going anywhere. You know, there will always be this draw, this allure, this nostalgia, this, you know, I don't know what the word is that pulls you back towards these interesting little pieces of cardboard. But just take a look at some of the sales that are going on. You know, Robert Edward auction. I mean, Alt auction is ending, you know, a couple days after I published this episode. You know, Golden's got a bunch of auction. I mean, just look at some of the high record prices selling for some cards. I know that's swinging the pendulum a different way, but it really is sort of, you know, like any other market, if you want to think about it, right? You know, we ran a little bit. It's got to take a little bit of a breath. It's got to pause. It's got to come back and find some more support. And then it can, you know, kind of move up from there. I think that really is a lot of where we are. Sometimes you run too far too fast and you have to kind of take a breath and you have to, you know, reconsolidate and move back up. If you don't believe me, take a look at the last 4 months of Meta, you know, Facebook stock, including what happened to it today, where last quarter it announced earnings and went up 20%, talking about all the great things it's going to do and blah, blah, blah. And it just flew more than anybody thought it was going to do. And here we are 3 months later, the earnings were reported today. Great earnings. They did everything they said they were going to do and more. But they said going forward, the next quarter might not be as rosy as they thought. And all of a sudden it dropped all of what it gained basically last quarter. That whole run-up went up a little too far, too fast. Now it's got to basically fill that gap and figure out, I mean, the hobby, I believe, is in a space like that, maybe even coming out of it as you see some prices for cards. I'll just talk about one, like the 1993 Jeter SP and PSA 10. I mean, that's a card during the craziness that sold for over $600,000. I know who sold it. It was paid for. You know, it's a low-pop card, less than two dozen of those cards. And it went from over 600,000 to the most recent couple of sales in the twos, which is still a lot of money. I remember when Darren Rovell did an article when it first sold for $100,000 and he thought it was the craziest and stupidest thing on earth. Little did he know there are stupider things out there, tickets. But in any event, you know, it went from 100 to 600, then 200, 200. The last sale was over 300. I think it was $312,000. So, you know, a chart on that, if you want to take this episode now to the exact opposite, you know, go from my 87 Topps Bo Jackson, which shouldn't have a chart because there's just too many of them for it to ever be worth anything, to this, you know, Derek Jeter card. This is a junk wax era card, but because of the condition sensitivity, it's a card that's worth a significant amount of money in that high grade. And it did one of these, and it went really high up, and it came down. And it found a little bit of a base there, and it's if you look at the last sale, it looks like it's now coming back up from that base. It went too far, too fast, came back down, and maybe now that chart will start looking back up to the right. Fun part about it is I only throw that in at the end as a counterbalance to me, because there is a lot of ways to care about your cards more than just dipping them in distilled water and letting them soak for a little while. You could care about your Bo Jackson 87 tops. You could care about your 89 Griffey upper deck. You can care about your SP card. You can care about your ultra modern cards. Whatever it is you care about, that's the right way for you to hobby. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. I'll see you in a couple of days, guys. Take care.